podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
It's things to lose, so you got to feel it. I want them to feel it, but we got to use this now to be better.
WGN Radio presents Hogan Johns.
Eddie Jackson, for the fifth time in his young career, has a touchdown.
With WGN's Adam Hogue.
Are you ready?
The one and only.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
What's up, everybody?
Tearing it up.
Here they are, the Adams, Hogan Johns.
Touchdown, Bears!
We are back. And in a familiar place, Spring Hill Suites in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine.
We're here. I missed the Spring Hill. We were at the courtyard by the Capitol last year.
I was here.
You were here.
I was here.
So the courtyard by the Capitol is not attached to the Marriott Complex, which is attached to everything in Indy.
So you have to walk outside.
Yes. So it feels good not to tote around a jacket. Adam, I have to say.
It's the best part about Indy.
Yes. It's a whole new world.
I do appreciate the Combine being in Indy because it's relatively close to Chicago and very convenient. I don't really appreciate, though, that the media workroom is located in Ohio.
No.
Get our steps in today.
Yes. Well, it's a lot better than it used to be. The old media workroom used to be in Lucas Oil Stadium in The club area.
And all the interviews were there, too. There was nowhere to move.
It was so condensed. You ran out of seats. There was like an auxiliary press area in the hallway. It was just a bad situation. This is better. That was not conducive to work. This is. And you get your steps. And you know what? Some of people in our profession can use those steps.
Right.
Not to name any names, Pat Finley, but...
Wow.
It benefits us all.
Wow. I mean, usually you wait like 20 minutes for Pat Finley's shot, but that didn't take very long. Anyway, episode 217 of the Hogan Johns podcast, back after kind of our winter break. Was hoping to get a podcast in before the Combine, but I was in Arizona last week covering some baseball. Weather was about the same as it is here right now in Indianapolis. But, you know... Things happened.
Manny Machado, or lack thereof.
Things did not happen.
There you go.
You know.
There you go.
It's okay.
You feeling okay? You okay?
Yeah, for sure.
I think everyone knows on this podcast that you're a diehard White Sox fan.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with the White Sox not getting them. Seriously.
Okay, good.
$300 million for a guy with that many red flags?
Yeah.
I told myself...
I'm okay with that, yeah.
I told myself all along, if they get him, fine. You know, he's a great player. Fits the organization. They need a brand. I'm all for it. That's fine.
Oh, he is not the type of player I would feel comfortable with giving $300 million to.
And that's the other side of it.
Yes.
So I think he's going to win a lot of games for Pat Finley's San Diego Padres, but I think he's also going to cause some headaches over the next 10 years.
I know there's an out after five, but it's still 5 years of potential frustrations.
Yeah. Well, and it's the player.
Like you said,
out.
Headaches. Yeah.
Not the team. So, yep, I'm fine with it. Perfectly okay. I saw a game on Monday. The sun finally came out. Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, they were all mashing the ball. The future's going to be just fine.
Okay, good.
I'm fine. But this is a Bears podcast.
Of course.
Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy talk today here in Indianapolis. There's plenty to get to. I don't know why. I just sort of feel, though, that before we get into football, just feel the need to touch on actually a sad note. A colleague and a friend, a neighbor for me, and Jeff Dickerson lost his wife, Caitlin, yesterday. It was really just a sad way to start this whole week here in Indianapolis. Probably a lot of Bears fans by now know she's been sick for a while. Really been battling cancer for 7.5 years. And what JD and their great son Parker have been through over the last 7.5 years has been tough, that no one should have to go through, but especially the last month or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, just love Jeff, love Parker. Had gotten to know Caitlin a little bit after I moved to, you know, close to near where Jeff lives now, and over the last couple of years. And so it's just a really sad situation. And I don't know, if you get in a moment, Bears fans, to reach out to JD, I don't know how, probably over Twitter or something like that, social media. I know he's appreciating and all the love and support that his family's getting right now, and they can really use all of it.
Yeah, absolutely heartbreaking. Can I say one thing about our business? It could be a competitive one. It could be a selfish one. It could be one full of ego. But Jeff Dickerson is truly one of the good guys, the great guys, one of the best guys. When I walked into that media room, God, what, 7 years ago? A big chip on my shoulder, you know, feeling hot coming off the Blackhawks beat, you know, but still in a whole new world. Jeff Dickerson is one of the guys that welcomed me, welcomed us as we transitioned into the NFL world. Just a genuinely great guy. You know, forget about the coverage, whatever, you know. People are people.
Yeah.
You know, journalists are people too.
Well, and that's
and JD's one of the best guys, you know, in this business. Just an all-around good guy.
To me, I mean, that's one of the best parts of doing what we do, is the people we've gotten to know, the friendships that we've made. And a lot of times that those friendships come together here in Indianapolis for the combine. We go out to dinner. We discuss the St. Elmo's experiences and things like that. You know, I think we're going to Yard House tonight, which I know JD loves. So this whole thing, like, honestly, just it's been a tough 24 hours, like, just even trying to focus on any kind of football, knowing the pain that he's going through right now. And it just it didn't feel appropriate to dive into a deep football conversation without acknowledging what's going on in the real world.
Personally, the combine isn't the same without Jeff here. Dinners with JD are legendary down here in Indianapolis. The ESPN reporters will tell you the same. Everyone from Chicago will tell you the same. Dinners with JD at St. Elmo's or Prime or any other of these places here in Indy is always fun, always special. And he's missed. He's definitely missed here. So truly feeling for him right now. Such a heartbreaking thing he's going through.
Yeah. And I don't think it's appropriate to kind of dive into anything more than that, but just I'm sure our listeners, Bears fans, he would appreciate any love and support from you guys as well. So anyway, just wanted to acknowledge what's going on, again, in the real world before we dive into football, because we have not been around for a few weeks. It's like 22 days since our last podcast. Wow. Inexcusable.
Yeah, yeah.
Not cool.
Well, you go out and spend time in the desert.
Is it really a desert, though, when it's pouring rain for 2 days and snowing in the mountains? I mean, it didn't seem like a desert.
Didn't seem like spring training.
It didn't. It was odd sitting when the sun finally came out over the weekend and there were spring training games. It was still kind of cold, but the sun was out. You're sitting there. You're like, I'm watching baseball. The sun is out. And in the background, there's snow everywhere. Because you could see blanket in the mountains.
It's usually everybody's getaway from the Chicago weather, and it was not.
It was weird. Anyway, it is good to be talking football again. And there were some... It's a weird offseason for the Bears, because we're not used to this kind of...
It's different.
Quiet. Ryan Pace must have spent 7 or 8 minutes of the 20 he talked today about talking about a kicking position.
Yeah. To me, I know we're going to go through a lot of stuff, but it's like kicker and everything else.
Right. It kind of
kicker and everything else.
Well, because we said going into the playoffs, this is the team's biggest weakness, and it ended up costing them a playoff win. And so here we are. It is made official today by both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy that Cody Parkey is gone. He will be released
on March 13th
when the new league year starts, and that'll come with a June 1st designation, which Ryan Pace confirmed to us today. Basically what that does is it allows you to shift some of the money, the cap hit that the Bears are taking on by by cutting the kicker that still has a lot of guaranteed money left for a kicker. It's going to move essentially a little over $1 million to next year's cap, the 2020 cap, freeing up that space in 2019, which, let's face it, the Bears are a little bit cap-strapped here really fast. I mean, they've gone from multiple off seasons in a row where they could pretty much make any move they wanted to having to shift some things around here in the last few days just to create space not only for potential free agents, but they also have to plan for whoever they draft and fitting that all in.
Now, I will say this. Without a first or second round pick, there isn't much of a financial commitment to the draft class. You don't have the high paid
unless they move up.
Yes, which is always possible. I can't see it because they don't have a lot of draft capital to begin with. But that $1.1 million or whatever it was, $1.25 million, whatever that Cody Parkey deferred money is that they save, that could be your draft class in a sense, you know, or most of it. So don't underestimate the $1 million saved in this move.
No, anything right now at this point helps.
Yeah.
And whether
it's a veteran tight end that replaces Deion Sims.
Sure. Or Deion Smith.
Deion Smith.
Who was just as noticeable as Deion Sims last season.
Touché.
I guess, look, we got a lot of audio from Pace and Nagy I want to share. It's too much to kind of play the whole thing. So I picked out some certain parts that I think you guys are going to want to hear. The stuff on the kicking situation is pretty good, though, because, there's a few things, but one is, without, like, blatantly coming out and being like, I've totally screwed up the kicker position over the last 4 years, Ryan Pace, I thought, took ownership of that being a problem and vowing to get it fixed this year. Now, I don't know how the hell he's going to do that, because it's funny, we're sitting here and we're like, do you have any ideas? Steven Gostkowski? But are the Patriots going to let him go? That seems unlikely
to me.
And even if they did, it's not the greatest option in the world.
If you're asking me for my ideas, I bring in young guy after young guy after young guy, and I draft maybe a young guy in the seventh round. Maybe he becomes your lead candidate, but just where you ensure that you get one of the best guys in this year's draft. Maybe you do bring in a veteran with a couple years' experience, but the more the merrier. Forget finding a Connor Barth. Forget trying to give Carlos Santos a run.
Yeah.
Roberto Aguayo, sorry. You had your chance. Give some of these young guys an opportunity. Just like the Eagles have benefited from what's his name? Why am I not remembering his name?
Jake Elliott.
Yes. Give a young guy a run here. See what he could do. Build his confidence. I don't think the answer is going to be Redford Jones.
Well, I don't either. It was interesting. Here, let's hear from Ryan Pace, because he kind of touches on all this, including who the hell Redford Jones is. So here's Ryan Pace on the kicking situation.
All right, guys, welcome to Indy. Busy week ahead. Already started last night with interviews. Just finished some weigh-ins today, and we're ready to get rolling. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Ryan, what went into the Cody Parkey decision?
You know, Patrick, it's really performance-based at the end of the day. So, you know, Matt and I wanted to call him, you know, before the combine and be honest with him. So we had a good conversation with him and honest conversation with him. But at the end of the day, it's performance-based.
So, Ryan, what's your outlook there at that position? What are you trying to do?
Rich, explore every avenue. Yeah. So we've already done it with the reserve futures and free agency drafts. So we're going to, I promise, we'll explore every avenue to better that.
So you're also including in that using a draft pick potentially?
Yeah, whatever's best for the Bears, we'll consider.
Well,
yeah.
What's the philosophy overall on using that particular resource on that particular position?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, but again, it's best player available, and every draft is different. So if there's a kicker or a punter or any specialist in the draft we feel is worthy, we'll definitely consider it.
Will Cody be designated as a post-June 1?
Yeah, so the way his contract's structured, Brad, we'll do it after or at the start of free agency. Yeah, and that's a line of thinking with us.
Ryan,
yes.
Finding a kicker in this league can be a bit of a needle in a haystack hunt. Why is it so difficult to find a guy that can stick?
That's a good decision. They come out of nowhere, you know. And we were just talking about Justin Tucker the other day and how he came, you know, into fruition with the Ravens. And You know, I just think, you know, they develop at different times. I think sometimes they get specialized coaching, you know, after college. And so it can change, you know. And I think one thing we always have to consider is the conditions we're playing in with our wind and our elements. And there's a lot of things that go into it. No different than any position. Some of it's mental, some of it's physical.
What do you prioritize at that position as you evaluate now?
I think leg strength's important, especially in Chicago. You got to knife through the wind, so that's something that I would say is a high priority for us.
What stood out to you about Redford Jones when you met with him? He was not a drafted player. He wasn't in a camp and sort of, you know, took care of his own thing.
Again, these guys can kind of come out of nowhere sometimes. So we had an open kicker workout, and hey, we went into it and said, hey, we're going to be unbiased, and we're just going to let it come to us. And he crushed that workout, and so it was impressive. So he's on our team.
You said you wanted it to be an open competition for kicker. Will that impact who you can target in free agency if you do go that route?
Yeah, we just, no different than any position, we want to create major competition at that position. You know, obviously it's important. So whether it's free agency or the draft or college free agency, we're going to continue to explore that.
Who do you lean on other than Chris Tabor for those draft evaluations, and how different can that be, you know, than the other positions?
Yeah, it's a whole team of scouts on that. Yeah. You know, and I think you know, we all have our backgrounds. We have a Breck Ackley, who's one of our scouts, was a kicker in college. So it's a unique position with a unique skill set. And there's a variety of guys we lean on beyond Tabor, but I would say Tabor's the main guy.
I think there's only three kickers here, and obviously they're kicking indoors. How much can you learn about them in terms of the leg strength? And also, how important is the interviews with those guys at that position?
It is important, because I think with all these positions, but with kicker, you know, the mental toughness is important, the confidence is important, and what kind of adversity have they had in life, and have they been able to overcome it, you know, on and off the field. And we can feel a lot of those things here.
Ryan, what were you looking for in that kicker workout last month?
Good kicker. So, no, it was just, you know, sometimes you literally can almost turn your back and hear the way the ball is coming off their foot and feel the power and the pop. So you look for leg strength, you look for consistency, you look for trajectory, their mechanics. Those are all things that go into play.
Is it hard to judge them, though, when it's, I mean, it's not a game situation, it's not a pressure situation, there's not a
season. It is hard, you know, there's no rush, there's no, you know, I like to send Josh Lucas off the edge and try to block the kick in the workout, but there's not, it is hard to judge it in those situations. So it's a combination of the workout, interviewing with the player, and then the game tape, you know, and a lot of things go into play. And in college, sometimes you got to factor in the snapper and the holder, and there's all these different elements, which is, I think, why that position is a little tricky.
Brian, in retrospect, how do you self-assess your decision to cut Robbie a few years ago?
You know, I think we're honest with all those decisions, and obviously he's with another team now, so we can't discuss it, but I think we only get better if you analyze every decision you've made, you know what I mean? And we're not going to be, you know, 100% all the time, you know? So I think you're just honest with your assessments and learn from those things and get better from them.
What did you think of yourself in that decision when you look back on it now a couple years later?
Well, since then, you know, hey, we've been battling to get that position right. So, and our goal this offseason is to correct that, and we will.
And speaking of that, in the competition, you think?
In the kicker competition?
Yeah, typically two.
We wouldn't be opposed to going more, you know?
Did you consider bringing Robbie back?
No, we can't really get into it.
What did you learn from the Cody Parkey signing, and does it change maybe how you approach going after kickers now or in that position in general?
Yeah, you know, I thought last year's free agency, when we go through it, you know, I thought we had a strong free agency. We can go through each one of them, and I think, you know, last year's offseason was good, draft and free agency. But again, you're never going to be 100%, and you're going to learn from every one. And, you know, I think the world of Cody, you know, and we wish him nothing but the best. But, yeah, we learn from those experiences, and we try to get better from them.
All right, so some things that stood out there. I mean, getting back to what we were talking to before we played Ryan there, I mean, they are almost admitting that they're just sort of throwing crap at the wall here and hoping something sticks. They
That's a way to put it, but I think it's a little bit more scientific than that.
Well, no, I mean, Pace said that they brought in all these kickers.
Yes, yes.
And kept an open mind. It's almost like they crossed out the names. They didn't care who they were, just and used their eyes. And he even mentioned the sound of the ball.
Yeah,
to find a guy that stood out. And Redford Jones was the guy that won the battle on that day. But this speaks to how random the whole thing is. You know, who knows if that competition had happened the next day, who would have won that one?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And there's no
way. And they're basically kicking in a non competitive environment where nobody is chanting, nobody is screaming, nobody is cheering, nobody is coming for that ball. It's different.
Yeah, and
except Josh Lucas.
When we were there for the Chuck Pagano press conference, all the fields were snowed over, so I think this workout happened inside the Walter Payton Center. So there's not even goalposts.
Boom.
There's literally no goalposts in there.
Yeah, they got the nets. Yeah.
So it's they're going to bring in as many guys as they can, I think, and just...
That's what I'm saying. More the merrier.
Yeah.
Bring them in. Find the right guy. I do think you should maybe use a draft pick. One of those seventh-round picks stands out to me.
See, I'm against that. And I think you mentioned Elliott earlier. I mean, that's a perfect example. I believe the Bengals drafted him in the fifth round.
Yeah.
But they ended up cutting him after camp. And then the Eagles found him. The Bears could have gotten him at that point. So I think there's too many examples of guys making it without being drafted.
Yeah.
That when you only have five picks, I don't like the idea of using one of them.
But we've seen them. I know what you're saying because it's a different
except maybe
year.
In the seventh round.
Yeah, yes. Because the seventh round, we've seen them take flyers on guys. Tyo Fabeluje, right? Even a Jordan Morgan in the sixth round. Daniel Braverman in the seventh.
On the flip side, Charles Leno Jr.
Yeah.
Well, seventh round pick.
Exception. I think they may have something in Javon Wims. So I get it, but it's too important now. You have a team that's built to win now. You have to get this right now. So I think it's worth spending one of your two seventh round picks, one that you got in a trade for DeAndre Hall. The condition of the conditional trade came through. So do it. I think it helps your chances in getting this right.
Well, one guy you can cross off the list is Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
That speculation ended very quickly with the 49ers placing the franchise tag on Robbie Gould. It's an interesting situation. I want to start with this. I do have some audio from Kyle Shanahan today, the 49ers head coach, talking about what their plans are, what they're hoping to accomplish here with Robbie Gould. But real quick, from the Bears' perspective, I think this is kind of a good thing specifically for Ryan Pace, just from like a PR standpoint, because it takes that out of the equation. He has no control over it. You know what I mean? If they had not signed or not placed the tag on Robbie Gould, then, I mean, the optics of the whole thing would have just screamed, you have to sign this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't have a ton of cap space to do it, to put a lot of money on a kicker. And I'm not so sure that they would have signed Robbie Gould. I mean, it's the vibe I was getting was almost, you know, maybe it's a possibility, it could be, but I don't think it was a foregone conclusion that they would have had he been available. And I've said this before, you don't sign Robbie and you still have kicking problems next year, it's almost like you cut him again and you made the whole mistake over again. This in a way, it doesn't make it any easier to solve the Bears' kicking problem, but it makes it easier on Ryan Pace to take some heat off his back, I think.
See, I think the Robbie Gould move would have taken heat off his back if he signed him, because it just makes too much sense. You're righting a former wrong. It makes sense to everybody, inside, outside, experienced at Soldier Field, can handle the pressure. Obviously, he's motivated to prove himself all over again. Obviously, that worked out for the 49ers and the Giants, the two teams that have benefited from the Bears cutting him. To me, and I know you're going to play Shanahan in here in a second, if Robbie Gould's not available, and he's not, you've already tried the veteran route, right? You've tried your Connor Barths. You've tried your Cody Parkeys. Now you go youth, right? Your team is young to begin with. Find someone who fits with the culture you have now, who wants to prove himself, is not out for whatever, redemption like Roberto Aguayo was. I mean, Mike Nugent had a cup of coffee, you know, with the Bears. People forget about that. Like,
that a couple weeks.
Forget the veterans.
I think John Fox got his name right.
Yes. Yes. Maybe. I'm not sure. Mark Nugent. Forget about the veterans. You know, obviously you got to be familiar with them. Obviously that's why they brought, who was it, Nick Folkin as part of that workout.
Yep.
But look, give some of these young guys a chance. That's where I stand on the kicking competition.
As for Gold, I mean, if he doesn't sign a long-term deal, then, you know, the comments he made to me at the Super Bowl, and I know he talked to many others, he made it very clear he'd like to, you know, be back with the Bears at some point, whether that's his post-playing career or as a kicker or whatever. I mean, that's not really going to go away unless he signs a long-term contract with the 49ers, which, as much as he expressed the desire to get back to Chicago, he also did say that wherever he lands, he does hope to sign a longer deal.
Move his family. And, not?
Right. So I think here what's interesting is with the Bears out of the equation, at least for 2019, it gives him leverage to really force the 49ers to pay him here. Now, the whole point of the franchise tag is to give the team leverage, at least the guarantee to talk to him past March 13th. But, you know, Robbie has the ability here to kind of still threaten to play 1 year on the tag and say, I still want to, you know, make a run going back to Chicago next offseason. Or you got to give me, you know, you got to pay me. You got to pay me, you know, probably at least a 3-year deal and a good amount of money. Because he's earned it. I mean, he's been the best kicker over the last 3 seasons since the Bears cut him.
Yeah.
It's just what the numbers say. So, it's interesting. Anyway, Kyle Shanahan today addressed Robbie Gould, why they tagged him, and where that situation is right now.
You know, we put the tag on Robbie because he's a great kicker and we don't want to lose him. You know, we've been in negotiations with him for a while. We haven't come to a conclusion to side on it for both sides. And, you know, it's really a credit to Robbie that, I mean, it shows that we don't want to lose them. And when we franchise them, it's because we're hoping to get more time to solve this with them. I know he's going to be a Niner this year. I know he's not going to be on someone else's team. But I really hope it's longer than 1 year. So franchise tag means we don't have to stop negotiating March 13th. That means we can keep going all the way up to the season. And I know how bad we want him. And hopefully we'll meet somewhere in the middle and it'll work out.
What do you appreciate about having that position secure?
That he makes it most of the time. I mean, it's very, you know, unfortunately we haven't been a great team these last 2 years where he's had to make a bunch of game-winning field goals. But I've been calling plays long enough that it's very tough when you get to that 30-yard line that you don't believe the quarterback. I mean, you don't believe the kicker is going to make it, and it takes him a while to earn that belief. Every time we get there, I never think we're going to miss it, and it's a very good feeling to have as a play caller, as a coach, and that's something Robbie's given us for 2 years.
So Kyle Shanahan's saying that they've been negotiating with Robbie for a while now, haven't come to a conclusion, but making it very clear that they would like to sign him long term. So, you know, I think Robbie's going to have the opportunity to be a 49er for a few years, or maybe roll the dice and see how the situation plays out. But, you know, in terms of what the job looks like in Chicago, if the Bears find their kicker this year, and hopefully they do, otherwise, you know, they can't really afford to go through another season with kicking problems. And the point is there might not be a job open for Robbie Gould in Chicago next offseason. So it kind of seems like this is the direction that's going, and the, you know, more than likely the idea of Robbie Gould returning to the Bears anytime soon is out the window.
You know, I was all for it. I think a lot of fans were all for it.
Well, if available, I maintain that would have been the biggest no-brainer signing in the history of the franchise.
Absolutely. But with that off the table, again, sorry, old guys.
Yeah.
Youth.
All right. You're going for the young kicker.
Yes. It's a young team, man. These millennials, give them a shot.
So if you're looking for Adam Johns this weekend, he will be gravitating towards the kicker workouts.
Yes. There's 3 of them here, though.
Analyzing every single kick.
Yes. There's 3 of them.
I want to read about trajectory. I don't know what else goes.
That sounds like a good boom off his foot, something like that.
Yeah, give me the details on the sound.
No, I will say this, though. Like, I never, like, if you look back at Cody Parkey's kicking, you never heard the, what do you want to call it, the wallop or the thump.
Well, and we made this observation during the season a bunch of times, too. It's like, you want the ball just to go straight. Yeah, like, even when he was making the kicks, it was like it's fading or it's or it's hooking or something's going. Just drill the ball.
He had that one day in Bourbonnais where he hit the camera that's between the goalposts.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that, like, five times in a row. Fans loved it. It was a feel-good moment. It was like his best moment as a Chicago Bear, because after that, I don't know what happened, but the thump just wasn't there, Adam.
The thump. Okay.
He didn't bring the thump.
All right. Well, one guy who does bring the thump on the offensive line is Kyle Long. Contract restructure. He tweeted out yesterday, Bear for life. Now, the details on the restructuring have kind of come out, and I don't know that this means he's a Bear for life. It means he's a Bear for 2019.
It means he's committed to the Bears just in terms of he wants to be here.
Well, this
he
was...
does, and he assured himself of that.
Right, and I think it's enough of a favor on his part that if he plays well and stays healthy for 16 games, he will continue to be a Bear beyond 2019. Ian Rappaport had the details on the restructuring today. I don't know if anyone else did. I just happened to see that one. Here's what you need to know. I mean, it saves the Bears around $3 million in cap space in 2019, but still gives him the opportunity to earn a lot of that money back through incentives, which then, of course, will apply later on to the cap situation. But it frees it up. Right now, it frees up $3 million. But the other interesting details that Rap Sheet had was that 2020 basically becomes a team option now, and they chopped off the 2021 year altogether. So if that's all true, again, to that idea, Bear for life, it doesn't seem to really apply. However, I mean,
he's going to have to earn another contract,
right? But you're helping the team now, so you're hoping for that loyalty in return if you deliver with your play this season.
Well, he's got to play,
which is the big question.
When Kyle Long plays, is he the same physically imposing, amazing athlete that he was as a rookie when he was making what he'd make three consecutive Pro Bowls?
Yeah, but even I still think he's pretty good.
Yes,
when he's out there. He's more than pretty good.
He's improved technically. Oh yeah, he's better than how many guards in the league? A good majority of them.
Like, I noticed when he came back against the Vikings and the Eagles.
Well, he had his rough moments against the Eagles.
He did.
But the Bears are better with them, and they know that. But the guy has struggled to stay healthy. He's a great team player. He's an underrated leader. Mitch Trubisky loves the guy. Fantastic for that locker room. Everything they have established culture-wise, he embodies. But he can't stay in the field. And to use John Fox's famous saying, the best ability is availability.
But I also think it's fair to point out that his issues have not been nagging hamstrings and, oh, I can't practice this day because I have a sore...
Well, they've been serious.
Quad. I mean, he has had, like John Fox used to say, the injuries versus owies.
Yeah. Well,
these have been legit injuries.
Yes, yes. But they've happened consistently year after year after year.
But two of them are like just a guy falling on his foot.
Yeah. Guys are still going to fall on his feet.
Yeah. It's
the perils of playing up on the offensive line. Guys get rolled up.
I still think
it's part of the job.
Part of the equation, though, when you talk about durability and availability.
Yes.
You need to look at what the injuries actually were. In this situation, sure, he's getting older. He's 30 now, and he's had a bunch of injuries, but he still looks capable as an offensive lineman. It's not so much... To me, at least, it's not so much about age.
Yes, yes. Well, here's a guy who will play through any ailment he possibly can. He embodies the toughness that you want for your team.
And if anything else, I mean, this is his healthiest offseason in a while.
Yes.
So he should be ready to go.
Yeah, he's not undergoing any surgery, so that's refreshing for him. But just in terms of forecasting, because so much of these contracts are about predicting the future and what the guy's value is going to be down the line. These injuries have taken a toll on him. He's not as durable as he once was. I mean, that foot that got mangled in Tampa Bay, it's fair to say if it'll ever be the same again, it's just more exposed to future injuries now.
Mm-hmm.
Or more prone to future injuries now. It's not the same.
So What I find interesting, though, here is, if there's one thing about the offense other than, you know, just Mitch Trubisky making another jump in year three that you want to see improve in 2019, it's getting more of a consistent running game. And I think the Bears' moves here over the last couple weeks have been telling, because they basically got rid of any potential surprising move on from Kyle Long here, which I guess was, I mean, it was on the table. If you're looking for cap space and the player doesn't cooperate in restructuring his contract.
Well, they had an out this year.
Exactly. That's my point. Like, it wasn't necessarily 100% guaranteed Kyle Long was going to be back. So they restructure his contract. He's back for sure. They extend Bobby Massey. So he's back. And ideally, barring injuries, you're going to have the five same starters week one next season. The reason I think that's interesting is because, okay, what exactly was wrong in the running game? This is an indication that they don't necessarily think it was the blocking up front.
Good point. Jordan Howard's standing is precarious. I think they think he's a good player, but I think they think they need a different player. Does that make sense? I still think he's going to be on the roster next year. I said this on a podcast before. I wrote it too. Tyquan Mizzell was filling a role that for a player that's not yet on the roster.
Right.
Like, they want a guy they can send out and be a mismatch on a linebacker that is not Tariq Cohen. They want them both on the field.
Sure.
They don't have that right now. With all due respect to Jordan Howard, he's a good running back. But this was his worst year, and it just happened to be the best year for the Bears in his 3 years with the team. That's not good.
That's a good point.
That's not good.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting point. I thought that both Nagy and Pace said today that they thought the offensive line improved as the year went on, which is interesting because Kyle Long was hurt for a lot of that time. But I still think when he came back, you saw the boost. So anyway, I asked Matt Nagy about the offensive line and just, you restructure Kyle, you extend Bobby Massey. Both of those guys, you know, a month ago we could have been like, well, it wouldn't be surprising to see the right side of the offensive line look different. And instead it's going to, you know, again, barring injury, look the exact same. Here's Matt Nagy today talking about his offensive line.
I want to say this. I think our offensive line right now, just the way they grew fundamentally, and a lot of that credit goes to Harry Hiestand for just being such a great coach fundamentally with those guys. They believe in what he teaches them. He's hard on them, but yet he loves them. And they understand watching film and breaking it. How can they get better? And you see that with every one of our guys right now. So we fully understand some of these bookend defensive ends that we're going to be seeing here in the future, and the direction of speed and talent that goes on that front. So you better have those edges protected. And we have two guys right now that we feel really good with on the edges. And again, credit goes to Ryan and his guys for building that unit there now. And then also for Mitchell, it's that trust factor for him, the confidence in knowing all the communication that goes on that front line of how to do things. And so I'm looking forward to it.
So again, it sounds like they're, for the most part, happy about the O-line. Without question, I think Nagy made it clear he likes Charles Leno. He likes Bobby Massey on the ends. I mean, both of those guys today, both Nagy and Pace, made reference to the fact that they feel comfortable on the edges with those two guys, which, you know, we hear from Bears fans all the time who don't necessarily feel that way. But I think it's obvious the Bears do right now. So if it wasn't the offensive line, was it the running back? Was it the scheme? I thought at times it may have been the scheme, but I think the answer is kind of a combination of the two, with the answer being what you talked about, which is you got to find the right player for the scheme for it to all work in Matt Nagy's system. The running back room's going to look different, and I don't know if that means subtraction of anybody other than maybe Tyquan Mizzell, but he'll probably still be in the mix when they get to camp. It's just there's going to be somebody new in there that I think matters a lot.
Yes. They're not hiding their interest about it either.
No.
Look, they came out, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace said today, look, we had the conversations about Kareem Hunt. It just didn't get serious. But they are serious about exploring adding someone to that room. So much of what we do is like read between the lines, right? You know, reading the tea leaves. I know we're going to play more audio here, but everything I keep hearing from them, reading between the lines, reading the tea leaves, is that we need to add somebody. We're missing something offensively. Yes, Jordan Howard is a good back, but we need something else to go with Tariq Cohen. It's what I keep hearing.
Yeah, and you know, Jordan Howard's probably still going to have a somewhat important role on the team, I think.
The guy still scored 9 touchdowns last year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Short yardage situations, anything between the tackles, he's still good.
Yes.
He's still pretty good. The V word was used today a few times. Vision, though, has been brought up as something that's very important. Not getting caught up in the size, weight, speed, but judging the tape. And Nagy said he couldn't wait to look at the tape of some of these draft prospects. Looking at more at their instincts and what they're seeing out there. I found that very interesting.
See, Jordan Howard's vision used to be like his strength. He could find those cutback lanes and sneak through holes that you didn't think were there. We saw over his first 2 years. But something didn't seem to click this year in his third year, which was really a contract year if you think about it, because Ryan Pace has shown that if you are a draft pick and you've played well over 3 years, I will extend you after your third year. That's why Cody Whitehair is up for it.
And Goldman did it. We kind of discussed and wondered as the Steelers were going through their Le'Veon Bell situation last summer, if a year, fast forward a year, if Jordan Howard, who, oh, by the way, has the same agent, would be in a similar situation. After the year he just had, he doesn't have that kind of leverage.
No, at all. No. Again, it was statistically his worst individual season of his three. But of those three, it was the best for the Bears as a team.
And the offense got a lot better as a whole.
Yes, yes, yes. And I know Matt Nagy said that statistically that the running game was better than the passing game this year, but a lot of those numbers are skewed because of number 10.
Right. And look, I think we've all, and fans included, have been trying to figure out what exactly Matt Nagy's looking for at that position, because other than him having Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, don't really know what it's going to look like. I found this answer today. I think Kevin Fishbane was the one who asked the question, just really what he's looking for when he's scouting running backs. I found this answer very interesting.
Well, when you're dealing with running backs, for us in this offense, you want to be able to have a guy that has really good vision, you know, that can make guys miss. And at the same time, there's that balance of being a hybrid, of being able to make things happen in the pass game too, but yet to where you're not one-dimensional. And that's not easy. There's a lot of backs in this draft right now that are one-dimensional. There's some that are hybrids, and there's some that are really just scat guys. So to me, that's fun. I like watching the film and seeing where guys are at, and that's for every position. So it'll be fun to just kind of critique all these positions that we have here offensively and defensively, and make sure that with the few picks that we have, we make the most of it.
He's looking for his Kareem Hunt. Let's be honest. And I get, look, like I said this on Twitter after the Kareem Hunt addition became a conversation for the Bears, or possible addition became a conversation for the Bears. I'm like, look, he's too controversial for me. Maybe they could just draft their own version of him. And everyone's like, he's a Pro Bowl guy. He's not Pro Bowl. They don't grow on trees. Everybody seemed to forget that he was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
He was the number 86th pick of the draft a couple years ago. Right? The Bears have the number 87 pick this year. You know who was the number 86 pick a few years ago in the draft? David Johnson, the Cardinals.
Sounds like you do.
All pro. Yes, sounds like I do. You know it. They have the number 87th pick. Good running backs, outstanding running backs, can be found in the mid-rounds. Tariq Cohen is one of them. Now he's more of a role player, a joker back, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call it.
Well, something Ryan Pace has shown he's got a knack for.
Yeah, you can find production in the third round. You can. You can't. Alvin Kamara was a third-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Well, I think it's still maybe a little bit too early to dive into some of these names. But, I mean, no one really knew who Tariq Cohen was at this point. It's really, I think, the combine that got some, you know,
love, yeah.
some love for him. But I can't say that sitting here in Indianapolis during that combine, I knew who Tariq Cohen was at that point. So, you know, there's some guys who might be available later. Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic, somebody I had in my first Bears mock draft last month. So, I think we'll be following that a little bit closer as we get closer to the NFL draft. But what about free agency, though? Could you see them dabbling that way?
It all depends. There's so many dominoes that have to fall, I think, for the Bears free agency, because a lot of it starts with Bryce Callahan and Adrian Amos, like re-signing their own if they can't. How much money do you want to spend on a free agent compared to what you think you can get in the third and fourth rounds?
Yeah.
I mean, Tevin Coleman, we were talking about before the show, but he's got this, I believe he's still got the same agent as a Jordan Howard, as a Le'Veon Bell.
That complicates things
yes,
a little bit.
These things have layers to them. So, look, you can find maybe C.J. Anderson. Remember they had interest in him a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Now maybe if he loses his bubble butt, he could come back and play at a full level.
I don't think he's the...
No, he's not the answer. I get it.
He's not the cream hunt. And I don't even really think that Tevin Coleman is, but Tevin Coleman is kind of that... Like Nagy put in there, you want the hybrid who's not just a scat back. Tevin Coleman's kind of in that mold. I mean, he can do a lot of different things for you.
Yes.
And so that's an interesting name for me to kind of keep an eye out depending on what the price is. You know, the Le'Veon Bell dream, one, I think given the cap situation, could you somehow fit him in financially? Probably, but you got to think this thing out like 3 years in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
You're paying Tariq Cohen. You're paying Eddie Jackson coming up. You're going to have to pay Mitch Trubisky at some point. You can't just you can't have too many of these way high-priced guys, yeah. And running back is just not a position
A couple of thoughts on that. Here's my hold-up on a guy like Le'Veon Bell for the culture that the Bears are building. I mean, they love guys that love football. It almost sounds cliche, right? Because you think all these guys should love football. But it's not always the case. This guy just sat out willingly, missed an entire season willingly by his own choice. And I get it's layered, and I get the Steelers are to blame, but... To some GMs, that'd be a red flag.
Sure.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you have a young team, right? Bringing in a guy like that who just sat out willingly for an entire year.
Well, it's not just if you love football. It's where you rank football.
Yeah.
Like, you may love football, but it might be fourth on your list of priorities.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's how much you actually love it.
And all this sounds so cliched to talk about, but this is what the Bears prioritize.
Yep.
They love chip-on-the-shoulder guys. They don't like the guy who sat on his butt and ate chips.
Is that what you're accusing C.J. Anderson of?
No.
Okay.
He was actually quite productive for...
Hell yeah, he was.
I mean give him a little bit more credit. And look, well, I forget what my second thought on this was going to be. I lost my train of thought. But
by
like,
the way, speaking of C.J. Anderson, though, that's what you... I think what they want Jordan Howard to be. Next season is the guy that comes in if whoever the number one guy is banged up. And I don't, obviously, you're not going to be drafting Todd Gurley here in the fourth round, most likely. But you're going to give yourselves, it's honestly probably going to be more like a three-headed attack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's the other holdup. And I wrote about this in the Chicago Sun-Times is, Pace made mention of this several times. They got a kind of a long-term vision here. They don't want to bungle their books with a big contract like a Le'Veon Bell.
I just can't see it happening.
Where there's question marks and red flags. In the near future, you're going to have to re-sign Eddie Jackson. He's an all-pro player. Tariq Cohen, he's an all-pro kick returner. Look, you're going to have guys to re-sign. Leonard Floyd, yes, you can pick up his 2020 option. But he's going to need a new deal. Cody Whitehair have to resign. And eventually, there's a payday coming for number 10.
Right.
And then everything changes. So you don't want to... Like, I get the go-for-it attitude, but at the same time, if that go-for-it attitude results in a five-year contract for Le'Veon Bell, and four of those years are fully guaranteed or something like that, that's not good business sense. It's not.
All right. Well, speaking of, this is kind of the last big topic I want to touch on. It's just how they attack this whole thing, given the cap's an issue. They don't have a first round pick. They don't have a second round pick. How are they approaching this offseason? How are they approaching the draft with not having a first or second round pick? Are they putting more resources towards the middle round guys? You know, kind of not spending so much time on the, you know, is it really worth spending the resources to investigate a guy who's probably going to go in the top 10 and you know that he's going to be out of reach? And so that was one of the things I was really curious about today. And here's what Ryan Pace had to say about that, on how they're preparing for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think, you know, just it's the same, really, honestly, because you don't know what's going to happen in the draft. I mean, we could be aggressive and move up. Players could fall to us. I think we've shown we can trade around in the draft. So we're really ready for every scenario. So we don't treat it any different. And I think in addition to preparing for this draft, we're preparing for future years, too. So when we talk to guys, we interview guys, all the information we collect at the combine, that's going to continue into free agency down the road when these guys become free agents.
So a pretty strong answer there from Ryan Pace in making it clear that they're not going to change their operations very much. Now, the one area I could see things change a little bit is with their official 30 visits that they get, because those you might gear more towards the guys you expect to have on your team in April if you're going to draft them. And so you do want to make sure you're – it could actually give you an advantage for some of these middle-round guys, where those guys might not be getting as many visits elsewhere. But it's a great point by Pace in there that all the information you gather on these prospects now, you get to keep in storage when they become free agents in 4 or 5 years. That cannot be ignored. So, you know, if there's a guy who's a top 10 pick right now, well, 4 years from now, he might be a free agent, and you might be going back to that file folder of information that you have on that player, and it could help you make an informed decision on him as a free agent. So they're still going to do all their homework that they normally do here at the Combine.
Well, we've seen them reference that before with some of the free agent signings. Like Mike Glennon, bad example for everything Bears, but, you know, they referenced some of that. Now, did they view him as an elite quarterback? No, they viewed him as a bridge quarterback, and that's what their draft evaluation said too. But look, it's all about information gathering here. I mean, information is an invaluable resource, you know, not only for this year, but for down the line, like you said.
Yeah, so I just think that's an important thing to look at, that they're not going to change things up. It's going to be, you know, also Pace not ruling out the idea of moving up. I don't really know how they would do that without spending those 2 second-round picks they have next year. But, you know, maybe that's something they look into, to grab a second-round pick this year. You know, kind of like what they did with Anthony Miller last year. They spent this year's second-round pick to get – you're basically getting a year's advance on a second-round pick.
Right.
So that's something I could see happening. Moving all the way up to the first,
What are you going to give up, everything?
Yeah.
It would take everything to maybe get in the first round, especially for going for a high-end player.
Well, somewhere in that conversation is another first-round pick, and you don't have one until 2021.
Yeah.
So,
well, the best thing about this for the Bears is that for the first time ever under Ryan Pace, look, you don't have to be overly aggressive. You don't have to, you know, spend crazy amounts of money in free agency. I mean, you don't even have that money, but you've gotten to this point because you've actually built yourself a winning roster.
Yeah.
Your needs are few, extremely few.
Which is kind of the last thing I have here on my topics that I wanted to discuss, because I just think this is important perspective for fans to keep in mind. Really, to me, the most important thing that can happen in 2019 to avoid, like, I think Pace and Nagy maybe both mentioned this today, but the idea of you're either getting better or you're getting worse. So to avoid getting worse, this roster, especially this offseason, is in prime position with how young it still is, that the greatest improvement is not by going out and signing guys or depending on a Khalil Mack trade or, you know, drafting Roquan Smith in the first round. It is just individual players already on the roster getting better. Because they should. They should be developing, whether it's Mitch at quarterback, whether it's a guy like Anthony Miller at wide receiver. There are so many guys, whether it's Tariq Cohen, there's so many guys, Eddie Jackson, who could still get a ton better. Roquan Smith, I mean, could be, you know, an all-pro next season with the potential he has. The most important thing to me in 2019, and unfortunately we're not going to see these guys for months now, but that is the biggest key to me for the whole season, is just those guys improving from within. And let's not forget that, okay, so you don't have a first or second round pick. Well, you know, Khalil Mack was really your first round pick last year.
Yeah.
And Anthony Miller was your second round pick. So
yeah, if you're looking at merely in terms of addition and subtraction.
That's why I think Miller is one of the most important pieces for not just next season, but the longevity of what Ryan Pace has built
here.
Because you got an advance on that second round pick. Well, now you don't have him this year. So it's that much more important that he is a lot better this season and is not a miss.
Right.
Like right now, Adam Shaheen, there's questions there.
Yeah.
That guy might be a bust. Or, you know, maybe this is the year he takes off. Jimmy Graham didn't take off till his third year. Not that he's Jimmy Graham, but I'm just saying he could, you know.
Well,
this,
let's start with by staying healthy there, Adam Shaheen.
Right, right. This is, the point is, this is a pivotal year for him.
Yes.
If you're coming out of 2019 with those same kind of questions about Anthony Miller, that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a lot of, what's the old fantasy rule? Like, look for those second-year receivers who had pretty good rookie seasons, right? Because they're about to take off. And Anthony Miller fits that fantasy the description, that old rule. To me, just in terms of like the internal growth, obviously starts with Trubisky. Year two with Matt Nagy's offense, he's not thrown into the fire anymore. He has a comfort with the verbiage. He has a comfort with his new teammates. They're no longer new teammates. But just go back to the rookie class. You got four starters out of that last draft, and maybe something secretly coming out of Javon Wims, right? Roquan Smith, as a rookie, led your team in tackles.
Wait, what is secretly coming out of Javon Wims?
Stop. Just keep the focus here, Adam. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. That's what she said. Anyway, you have 10 starts out of James Daniels, 6 starts out of Bilal Nichols, who emerged as one of your starters. Like he made Jonathan Bullard expendable, did he not?
Certainly put him on the bubble.
Yes, and if Anthony Miller's shoulder is truly fixed and no longer an issue, I mean, that is immensely important for a guy who had 7 touchdown passes in 15 games as a rookie learning a new offense.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to build on for all these young guys. So Eddie Jackson can get better.
Sure.
Tariq Cohen can be used better. Allen Robinson is not returning from a torn ACL. So just reasons for optimism.
Absolutely.
There's plenty.
I think that's the biggest key the whole season. I mean, we're here at the Combine, so we're talking about draft picks and free agency that's, you know, 2 weeks away. But for this team to be better in 2019, the improvement to me really comes from within. Some last things to get through. Speaking of Anthony Miller's shoulder, he did have that surgery. Will, according to Pace, most likely be limited during the off-season program. So
it's, you know, smart.
Probably not full go in OTAs. And so that's something to watch if he's able to get out there at all full go until training camp could be a question. Bilal Nichols was kind of dealing with that knee. He was on the injury report, seemed like every week, and resting at times. But there was, Pace said there was no knee scope there for Bilal. So that never seemed like that big of an issue, and I guess it isn't. Chase Daniel was asked, well, Pace was asked if Chase Daniel has an out
in, he does, yeah,
his contract,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. He could buy himself out, basically.
Right, but made it very clear that that's not going to happen.
I thought he curiously said he's going to be here for a long time.
Yes.
He only has 1 more year left on his contract.
Yes.
Long time is, I always view when I hear long time, you think long-term contract. He doesn't have that, so maybe there's another year coming. Obviously, they love what he provides Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, Pace said he expects him to be a Bear. He paused. I think someone started asking another question, so you, I wonder,
well,
if some
lost his train of thought. I get it.
Missed it, but he snuck in there and said, for a long time.
Yes.
So I've noticed that too. That was very interesting. Because look, you have a situation here where the Bears obviously love Chase Daniel, not only because he showed that he starter misses two games, he's going to win half of them.
He can win, yeah.
And get you a chance to, you know, they went 1-1 without Mitch and probably should have won that second game, and it wasn't Chase Daniel's fault. So, although we did agree at the time that they would have won it if Mitch had played.
Agreed.
Anyway, the point being, he can come in and play if he needs to. Great for Mitch's development. He's been around Nagy. He gets it. Like, at this point in his career, he realizes the best job for him to continue to get paid as an NFL quarterback is to be Mitch Trubisky's backup. So he's not opting out on any contract to go, you know, like Case Keenum still thinks he's a starter in the league. Good luck with that. It's not that kind of situation.
Oh, come on. You're so mean to Case Keenum. You can have a dream, Adam.
Well,
you can have a dream.
You can have a dream.
Chase Daniel's dream is just a bit different than some of these other guys.
Which is good. He gets it. He gets it. And hopefully we get some funny training camp videos out of him again.
He was good. Fake fan.
And then some other minor things. Pace did say they prefer to have the bye week after their trip to London. That's kind of an
option. So do we.
Option. Yeah. Yeah. Let's not forget why that question was asked. It's really for us.
Yeah, for our wives and spouses and significant others.
And I was just curious if the London trip would impact their desire to practice and go on the road against the team in the preseason. And it doesn't sound like it will. That has more of a scheduling thing because it kind of needs to be week two of the preseason. So they need to wait and see how that lines up with whoever they play and if they can pull it off again. But obviously the Bears like doing that.
Yes.
They've done it 3 out of the last 4 years.
Yes.
So it sounds like they'll try to do that again if the schedule works. That's all I have, my friend.
It's good to be back.
Good to have stuff to talk about.
Yes. We'll be back one more time?
I think
Friday?
So. I think we're going to do 2 from the combine.
Okay. Get some kickers on record.
Kickers on record.
Yes.
When did the kickers talk? Yes. I don't even know.
How would you describe your mental toughness? Let me just give you a capothetical. If you hit the upright in a doink, how would you feel about it happening 2 more times in 1 game, and how would you recover from that? I want you to ask that question to whoever's here. The LSU kicker.
I was going to go with which national network morning show do you watch?
Ooh, that's good.
Are you a fan of Savannah Guthrie?
Yes.
Are you trying to be the most honorable player?
Yes. Yeah. Do you know it's not a real thing?
Right.
You cannot win something that does not exist.
What if that was like the Bears interviews with the kickers? So do you watch the Today Show?
Yes. Yes.
Are you a fan of the Today Show?
Yes. Not the one on Comedy.
Yeah,
Comedy
actually,
Central. Yeah.
I grew up watching that show. Okay, get out of the room.
Yeah. Yes. To let the door hit you on the way out.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Good to be back. Episode 217. Follow us on Twitter. We're going to be here for a few more days. Plenty of content. This is always the busiest day. Now we get a couple days to kind of just dig for information, see who we run into. The combine's always fun like that because you never know who you're going to run into at any given time. Or, you know, you might just be at a urinal next to Thomas Dimitroff. That sometimes happens.
Yes. He's a cell phone out guy.
Yeah? I didn't notice that, but I wasn't looking that close.
You're the one next to him.
I know, but I wasn't looking past the point of recognizing who was there.
We should go.
I've been running into a lot of people at urinals lately. What's Akeem Hicks at the Super Bowl? That's a little weird.
Is he a cell phone out guy?
Did not notice that.
Or is he a talker?
Either way.
He's a talker.
He
said
a talker.
Talked it. Yeah, he's a talker.
He was a talker.
Yes. People need to realize there's different type of people that you experience next to in urinals. Yes.
I'm okay talking at the urinal.
Yeah, I'm a talker.
Fine. I got no problem with that. Okay.
We should go.
It's okay. Yeah. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You already have stuff up. ChicagoSunTimes.com. I will have stuff up. WGNRadio.com/Bears. Please rate and review the podcast. Glad to be back. Thanks for listening. Just give it 5 stars. Leave the review. We appreciate you doing that. And we'll talk to you later in the week.
See ya.